was it Ata'ullah Shah Bukhari Sahib, was a famous orator of India. His orations were so powerful and captivating that he would start off his bayan at Isha to end up at Fajr, and no person ever would leave the gathering. Allah Ta'ala had placed so much of athar and so much of effect in his bayan. And he had a strange way of turning people to the truth. He'd been in India where there was a great movement towards Westernism, disinclining towards Sunnat. The Aligarh University, that is very popular, was also turning towards atheism and godlessness. So he had come up to Aligarh to meet up with the defiance of the students. No, we don't hear any bayan, no bayan, you're not going to give any bayan. So he was an experienced person. So he said, alright, I'm not going to give a bayan, but do you have any qualms about the Quran Sharif? No, Quran Sharif you can recite. His voice also was so captivating. Up to now, some people have got his tapes. Now he's passed on over 60 years. But his voice is so captivating, you go on listening. The more you listen, the more you want to listen. Whilst in jail, he was reciting the Quran Sharif. The warden that was in charge of him said, please, now you just get out of jail. Because it's only time that will make me Muslim now. So your Quran Sharif recitation is just dragging me to Islam. So his recitation was so powerful. Allah Pa grant us that type of recitation. So he asked them, do you people have any qualms, any objection against the recitation of the Quran? No. Recite. Quran must be read also like that, in a melodious voice, how much you can. You don't have to imitate any person. Everybody can't become Qari Abdul Basit. But you can try in a melodious voice, in a sweet voice. Allah Pak's Kalam, Allah Pak asks us to recite. So that melodious voice we're reciting. He recited the Quran. Then he asked them, what about the tarjuma, the translations? Yeah, alright, give us a translation. We started with the translation. What about the explanations? Alright. That pulled right till Fajr, where the crowd was not prepared to listen to one word, and he pulled them right till Fajr. So this all comes off with the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, that is why one of the reasons why I thought of introducing this Durood Sharif. You don't have to read loudly. Each one read himself, and with that concentration that the malaika are conveying the Durood Sharif to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that frame of mind, as though all of us have a cell phone directly linked to Medina Munawara. It is going, malaika are doing the same thing. What the cell will do, what the mobile will do, malaika are doing the same thing. It is conveying it straight. So we have that frame of mind is going now. Going to Medina Munawara. Min wa an. And the malaika are exactly saying, Nabi Sallam, this is the person, son of so and so. From here, he has conveyed the salams to you. So with that frame of mind, we don't read just casually, but with that frame of mind that the malaika are sending the Durood Sharif to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are those brothers of ours that are fortunate to be in Medina Munawara, and they are reciting Durood Sharif right at the threshold of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Rasul will listen to it directly. We don't have that fortune. May Allah Ta'ala take us as well one day. But we can do this much, that we send the Durood from wherever we are. So the same Allama Ata'ullah Shah Bukhari, he was giving a bayan. And the strange, the unique thing in his bayan was, his bayans used to be flocking with Muslims and non-Muslims, Hindus all. Hindus and Banyas are quite popular, they know the maths very well. Maths and addition and subtraction, they know it very well. So anyway, he challenged the crowd. He challenged the Muslims in the crowd that, I want you to give the answer to this. Some complicated mathematical problem, and he asked them to find an answer to it. You have 3 minutes. Nobody can find the answer. Scratching the head, they can't. Said, now my Muslim brothers, now you sit, you keep quiet. Now I throw the challenge to the Hindus that are here. Some Banya youngster, 18, 19 years of age, within a minute or 2 minutes he got it right. He said, this is it. So Ataullah Shah Bukhari says, Sahib says, you got it right, 100%. You got it right. You got it 100%. But remember that the Hindu, he's got mathematical problems in this life, and he will have mathematical problems in the hereafter as well. He's got problems, he'll have to bring solutions, he'll have to find solutions for the mathematical problems here, and on the day of Qiyamah he'll have to find solutions there as well. And the Muslim, he doesn't have any problems here because he doesn't understand it so well. And in the hereafter, inshallah, he'll have no problems there as well. See, Allah make us like that, that we don't have problems here, we don't have problems there. Ibrahim al-Islam had made dua for his children. When he was asked to settle his children in Makkah Mukarramah, so he made dua. Askantu min zurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zara. Allah, by your command and your order, I have made my progeny settle here in Makkah Mukarramah. Land, no cultivation, nothing can grow here, right? So, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. But, oh Allah Ta'ala, I'm not asking you that you change this land into a very, very healthy, very, very fertile land, flowing streams and all that. No, I'm not asking. I don't want that. For my children, I don't want that. I don't want a flourishing trait for them. Because what I want for them is you make them namazis. مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. You make them namazis. Their life must be namaz. The pivot of their whole life, the whole concern must be namaz. But they are human. When they are human, they have needs. Their job must be namaz. They are getting namaz done and they are getting people on namaz. They are on namaz and they are getting people on namaz. So that is the whole pivot of their life. The whole fikr and the concern of their life is they are doing namaz and they are getting people on namaz. So Allah, we can't deny that we have got stomachs and we have got needs. So the rozi, you see to that they get their rozi and they get their provisions. But namaz, let them do the namaz. And the rozi and the provisions, you do it for them. So Allah Ta'ala made it such that you see now the Arab, the worst type of Arab, namaz time, up to recently we should see, as we stop his car, he got his musalla and he's doing his namaz. And the wealth is flowing beneath his feet, isn't it? The wealth is flowing beneath his feet. Allah Ta'ala made it such. Who can control Allah Ta'ala? Nobody can control him. Bishara, the Jew, he worships wealth, right? He worships wealth. On account of his worshipping the wealth, he tries to corner the economy. But now, Allah Ta'ala gave it to them on the plate. They are so stinking rich, they don't know what to do with the wealth. Really, when we see these Arabs' wealth, they don't know what to do with the wealth. That America and the West is flourishing on account of the Arab wealth. If the Arab just has to disinvest all his money, in one day's time they will go bankrupt. Class. The economy is so powerful. So Allah has given them such strength. So because they worship wealth, then if anything doesn't work out in accordance to their financial equations and financial their workings, then the brains can't work, you know. They say the wealthy, if you want to hurt him, you don't swear him, you don't insult him. He won't get worried. It doesn't work him up. It doesn't hurt him. What hurts him is you pull away his wealth. You pull away his wealth, his magaj can't work. His brains can't work. His brains can't work. He can't function at all. So these people are such. When Allah Pak took away the wealth, Allah Ta'ala constrained the wealth, they went and said that Inna Allah faqir, Allah Ta'ala is in need. Man is so blatant. The Jews made that statement, Allah Pak is faqir now. He needs all, he's called, he's asking for wealth. So Allah Pak is in need. And they went on to say, Ghullat aydihim. وقالت اليهود يد الله مغلولة. Allah Ta'ala's hands are tied. His hands are tied. You see, in that frustration, in that madness of this, they said, Allah Ta'ala's hands are tied. So that wealth was pulled away from them. And why was the wealth pulled away? It happened that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come in, they had rejected Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they rejected Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in spite of the fact that they books had contained predictions about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they rejected him. When they rejected, then Allah Ta'ala tightened the wealth. When Allah Ta'ala tightened the wealth, what they said, Allah Ta'ala's hands are tied now. He's not giving. His hands are tied up. So that they said about Allah Ta'ala, that he is faqir, he is in need, he is poor. Na'uzubillah. And the second statement they made is his hands are tied. Then they went and spoke about their own Nabi. See, that wealth, that money doesn't come their way, then their brains can't work. Then they make all type of statements. Against Allah Ta'ala they made statements. Then they made statements against their own Nabi, Musa alayhi salam. They say, that Musa alayhi salam came from Egypt, you know, that he went on to the Sinai desert, etc., wherever he had settled eventually. Right. So what they say about Musa alayhi salam, na'uzubillah, they say, he took the wrong turn, you see. He's supposed to come to Makkah where the oil was. And he took a turn that side. So he missed out, he lost out there. So everything is centered around wealth. Everything is just centered around wealth. The brains only function if there is wealth. Like that wealth is like their drug. If they have it, they can function. They don't have it, their brains collapse. So the Muslim mustn't be like that. The Muslim mustn't be like that. Allah Pak will give. He will provide. But we don't make our ibadat subject to that wealth coming in. Comes or it doesn't come, we'll still remain his. And we'll beg him until he will give it to us. It's not that he won't give. If he's giving, the enemy won't he give you, he'll give you as well. But just that we need to turn towards him. Turn towards him, be obedient, listen to him. And there is no delay in Allah Ta'ala giving. If there is a delay, there is a delay on our side. There are several reasons why Allah Pak doesn't give straight away. Once the malaika complained to Allah Ta'ala, your servants, they're asking, and their du'as are not getting answered. Why, what's wrong? Their tears are coming out, and the du'as are not getting answered. So Allah Ta'ala send those malaika back to the earth. Say, go and see in those Muslims' homes, you know. They've got something locked up in their cages. Go and see what they've got. The malaika came down and they saw that they got birds in their cages. So Allah sent the malaika again, go and find out whether they love those birds. And out of love they are keeping them caged, or because of hatred they are caging them. So they went up and said, Allah Ta'ala, no, out of love, it's not because of hatred or because of punishment they are caging them up and they're tying them up, no. So then Allah Pak asked them, well, go and find out that if they love them, then why are they caging them up? They love them, then why are they caging them for so long? Why don't they release them? You know, the other brothers all flying around free everywhere. you know, go America, Australia, Canada, they're just moving. And these beautiful little birds, they are just sitting here. So the Malaika went and find out. And they found out, they made the whole survey and came back to Allah. And I say, no, no. Allah, they love them. And they cage them out of love, not because of hatred. But they keep them. Why they keep them is, they love the crying of those birds, the twittering, the chirping, and the crying of the birds in the early part of the morning, late in the evening. So just to listen to their cries, they cage them up. So now Allah Pak says to the Malaika, you see, like those people love them out of love, they keep them there, they keep them in suspense, they don't release them. I love these servants of mine, these believers of mine, I love them. And I love their crying. More than they love the crying and the chirping and the twittering of the birds, I love these people's crying. So if they've got a right to lock and cage those birds, don't I have a right to lock my servants? I'm blocking their du'as. I'm blocking them their du'as. Really, I'm giving them, I'm rewarding them. I'm crediting them with all the reward. But they can't see it. So they're crying, Allah Pak, make a plan for us. Do this for us. People are suffering here. Allah Pak, they're suffering there. You're crying again. But why is the du'a being delayed? Is being delayed because Allah Pak loves you. He loves your crying, your twittering, your chirping, your begging. He likes all that. Now, if He's going to give you everything, then immediately you're going to stop. If Allah Pak gave you straight, you just ask him straight, will you cry afterwards? You don't want to cry. We're all matlabis, we know that. We've got an agenda. That agenda is finished. So we see, what's the need of crying again now? I got it now. Well, tahsil hasil, eh? So I got it now. Why must I make dua again now? I've got the thing already now. Why must I cry again? So Allah Pak keeps it in suspense that your crying prolongs, carries on. So this tadarru and this crying, this chirping of yours, this wailing of yours, this lamenting of yours, crying to Allah, Allah Pak likes your crying, He likes your wailing, He likes your lamenting, He wants that to happen. Hazrat Jibreel had come to Hazrat Rasul Pak, and in the corner of that room was one person crying. So Jibreel found out what is happening. So he was informed that that person is crying out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So Jibreel tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you see, this crying is so precious in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, that deeds normally they come onto the scales, right? But this crying can't even come on the scales, it's so heavy. That crying will really put off the fire of Jahannam as well, it's so heavy. It's so powerful, it will put off the whole Jahannam off. But imagine your crying is so precious that it puts off the whole Jahannam. You're crossing the Pul Sirat is making a noise. Bye, move. You're putting off my fire here. The Pul Sirat is also complaining about you. That you as a Muslim, you're putting off the fire of the Pul Sirat as well. So you see, your crying is so precious, is so liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a few tears to shed. You don't know which fire will be put off, which azab of the qabr will be completely wiped out. You don't know, perhaps one cry, and you don't know, the plight of the Muslims may just change. Who knows? One person's cry, it may just change the plight of the Muslims in some part of the world. You get to know, for example, your brother, perhaps, in Australia is making dua for you, and on account of that person's dua, everything worked out. How great don't you feel? Hey, that person made dua. He doesn't even know me, but he made dua for those Muslims in South Africa. They are going through some difficulty. Allah Ta'ala put them onto the track. That person made dua. The dua was answered. How delighted don't you feel that person made dua? He doesn't even know me, and he made dua, and things are working out for me. So there's a little bit of crying, a little bit of wailing, a little bit of... It's more beautiful in the sight of Allah Ta'ala than the chirping of the birds, than the twittering of those birds. It's so nice. Allah Pak likes it so much. It's so pleasant to Allah Ta'ala. So when it's so pleasant to Allah Ta'ala, can't we cry? Can't we cry? Can't we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why the dua must be in a way that we can identify. There's no problem making dua in Arabic. The person whose mind is registering and his mind is present, it's no problem. That's the actual words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now your mind is not registering. You don't know what he's talking about. So rather make the dua in the language that you can register. So you can cry, your eyes are focused, your heart is focused, mind is focused. The chances for the acceptance is greater. So this dua, we all need to make from now right to the end of Ramadan and after as well. See, how to explain this. We say dua can change things, isn't it? Don't we say that dua can change things around? Right? Everything has an effect. Dua also has an effect. It can change, it can make things happen, it can change things around. But the need is that you need that quantity of dua. If you got that quantity of dua, then the change will take place. It will make things happening. It will make things to happen. Like you say, sugar sweetens, right? But if you have a 10,000 liter drum, right? 10,000 liter tank you have, and you put half a teaspoon sugar, will it make any difference? And if someone says, "Mawla, you're speaking lies. You said sugar sweetens, and I put sugar, nothing happened." So what you will tell him? You will tell him, you get that quantity, you get the quantity right, and you'll see the sweetness. So the same when you say dua can make things happen, you can change things around. So you bring that quantity of dua, that quantity of crying, that quantity of tears, you bring that, and you'll find that things will change. But now you put one tear only, and you want the whole thing to work around. Just one tear. So you are crying here, he's crying that side, someone is crying there. Some women are crying at home, everybody is crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that quantity is met, then you will find the change taking place. But just one isolated tear perhaps may not be totally sufficient. I don't say it can't make things happen, but it's not sufficient. Like I say, sugar sweetens, but you need the quantities right. So the tear also, it makes things happen. But you need that quantities right. When you got that quantities, then you find. So therefore, this is a month where we should make dua. Especially nowadays with all what's going on. In the Haram Sharif, over the radio you are listening, every day they are making dua for the Palestinian cause, for the Burmese, for the Syrians, etc. Really, we don't know what it is to be in difficulty. We haven't gone through that. May Allah not put us through that. We don't know what it is. I know what it is. Just about 10 days or 8 days, we were in a siege in Makkah Mukarramah, 79-80. And I know what it is like. The basic provisions, food, safety, and you know, over the radio, that statement was coming. This parodic noise of gunpowder, gunfire, firing. And you know, one tank they were using, it will shake the whole Makkah. Makkah is a mountain, right? But it's shaking the whole mountain. The whole Makkah is shaking. So that type of gunpowder they were using. You can't get food, or all that you would require. You're getting something, but what you would require, you're not getting that. And then you got women, you got children, you got ladies, you got everybody else. How do you feel then? Now, this is still not as bad as what's happening in Syria. Still, you're getting some basic things. And they're not getting basic things. Burma, they're not getting basic things. Basic medication, basic requirements, they're not getting it. So what must be going through them? So it is our duty. They are Muslims, they are brothers, sisters, whoever, children, old, aged, frail. Don't we have any heart for them? Don't we have any pain for them? Can't we make dua in this Mubarak month? Or should we only make dua for our businesses? See? Only our business. Jiwa supermarket must flourish only. Why that? All right, make dua for Jiwa supermarket also. It must flourish. But more than that, see, this is a more important cause. People are suffering, dying. They can see their own children dying. They can see their grannies dying, frail. No shelter, nothing. The cold, sometimes in the heat. So can't we just apply our mind and then make dua for them? At least 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Inshallah, we'll try and continue this every day. Try and do it with the presence of mind. See? Have that feeling, the respect for your brother. We can't be out there supporting them actively for whatever reasons, political reasons, you can't be there. Right? You can't fight with them, you can't do anything, you can't defend them. But the minimum that you could do is make dua for them. So at least do this much at least. What you can do that much. Let's just leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least, you know, they say, ungli kata karke shaheedon mein naam kar de. You can't become a shaheed. At least allow your finger to be cut. A little bit of blood came out. At least you can say, Allah, you know, at least I also spilled a little bit of blood for your cause. Allah ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.